Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine, don't look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup. It goes down smoothly, but at the last it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I didn't become ill. They beat me. I didn't even know it. When shall I awake? I'll seek another drink. According to the Holy Spirit, drinking alcoholic beverage will make you sad, make you contentious, cause complaining, bring unnecessary injuries, cause bloodshot eyes, bite like a serpent, sting like an adder, cause deception, disorientation, and hallucinations, cause evil and perverse speech, cause sickness, cause numbness and vulnerability, and last but not least, leads to addiction. And so, my friend, if you enjoy being sad, since ethyl alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant, if you enjoy having problems, and they will most certainly increase, if you like to have things about which to complain without any real basis, if you enjoy needless bruises, you don't think reality is important, you think feeling invincible is a good thing, especially when you are not, and you think being disoriented and violently sick is a good thing, and you think the solution to all these problems is to seek another drink, and somehow the results will all be different the next time, then alcoholic beverage is for you. But it is absolutely not for me. In Proverbs chapter 20, there in verse 1, the Holy Spirit gives two very succinct warnings. Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 1, he says, "Wine is a mocker, and strong drink a brawler. Whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise." There are some people, like a young friend of mine and brother back in Columbia, Missouri, who before the age of 30 was an alcoholic. He had turned to alcohol for strength and security. But eventually it mocked him, and he became very weak and very insecure. Strong drink, as the Holy Spirit says, and remember, their strong drink is much milder than our strong drink. We have 80 proof, 90 proof, and even suicide proof, if you want it. But the Holy Spirit says strong drink often leads to violence. People react differently under the influence. Some people are weak as a kitten. Others become violent. That was my dad. Prisons are full of people who have killed other individuals or have seriously injured someone under the influence. I remember standing at the graveside of a marker that said this young man died when he was, I believe, 12 years old. And I asked my mother, who was from that town originally, the story behind this young man, why he died so young. And she said, well, his dad came home drunk one night, and he somehow secured a gun, and he killed his own son under the influence of alcohol. A friend and brother of mine who was doing prison ministry years ago, his name is Michael Schmidt. He was studying with an inmate, and the inmate at one point in the conversation said, you know, the vast majority of men in this prison were under the influence of something when they committed the crime, whether it was liquid drug or synthetic drug, they were under the influence of something. Someone with a tremendous experience in this area wrote the following words in light of Proverbs 20. I drank for happiness, I became so unhappy. I drank for joy, and I became miserable. I drank for sociability, and I became argumentative. I drank for sophistication, I became obnoxious. I drank for friendship, but I made enemies. I drank for sleep, and I would wake up without rest. I drank medicinally, and I acquired health problems. I drank for bravery, I became afraid. I drank to relax, I got the shakes. This young man I was telling you about earlier was trying to beat the habit and spent the night with us one night and paced and shook all night long, trying to get it out of his system. I drank for confidence and I became doubtful of myself. I drank to make conversation and I slurred my speech. I couldn't remember my words. I drank to forget, but because of things I did, I was forever haunted. I drank for freedom. I became a slave. I drank to erase problems, and I saw them multiply. I drank to cope with life, and I invited death. Wine is a mocker. People turn to wine or other alcoholic beverage to solve their problems, but only watch them multiply. It was Abraham Lincoln that one time said, beverage alcohol has its defenders, but it has no defense. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, Peter expresses a great concern for the spiritual welfare of God's people in this very sobering warning. 1 Peter 5, in verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, be firm in your faith. I don't know about you, but it's difficult enough for me to resist temptation when I'm fully sober and have all my faculties. And even then, I sometimes fail. Well, what happens, do you think, when we introduce ethyl alcohol into our system, even a small amount into our system? Well, let's let the prophet Hosea give us the answer. Let's let the prophet Hosea give us the answer in chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Among Judah's sins, Hosea says this in chapter 4, in verse 10. He says, they shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply. Because they've forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom. And then he says in Hosea 4, verse 11, wine and new wine is what they've turned to. And then he adds, which take away the understanding. They take away our ability to reason clearly. There are many sins committed under the influence of alcohol that would not otherwise have been committed because alcohol takes away our understanding. Many crimes have been committed that would not otherwise, I believe, have been committed except someone was under the influence of alcohol. Police used to call ethyl alcohol nerve tonic. Countless homes have been broken up. Children's lives hurt or shattered. Innocent people killed because someone made themselves vulnerable, easy prey for Satan by drinking beverage alcohol. USA Today article, November 05, said the consequences annually for college students drinking. Drinking by college students age 18 to 24 contributes to the estimated 696,000 assaults every year, 599,000 injuries every year. Sexual assaults are date rapes, 97,000 every year, and then student deaths, 1,700. So how do you like those apples? Well, I think they're rotten to the core. 1 Peter 5, Peter warns, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, is looking for someone like this to devour." Hosea says, introducing that into our system dulls our senses. It takes away our understanding and therefore makes us easy prey for the devil. Dr. Marvin Block, he was the former chairman on the Committee for Alcoholism for the American Medical Association for 10 years, highly respected in his field, wrote these words about alcohol. "Alcohol is a depressant of the higher brain center concerned with behavior and speech and memory. It first acts on the higher centers of the forebrain, releasing inhibitions that are normally present, and then gives you a false sense of stimulation." As Hosea says, it takes away your ability to reason. Look back with me at 1 Peter, if you will, this time chapter 2. And here's another reason why I choose to not drink alcoholic beverage. 1 Peter chapter 2, this time verse 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Peter urges, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." And so, my example, my influence, that's reason enough for Dempsey Collins to choose not to drink alcoholic beverage. One example outside is of a lady in Indiana. Her name was Rowena McKay. She's gone to her reward now. But there was a time that she was not a servant of God, and she had become an alcoholic. Her husband had died 10 years earlier at the time I met her, and she had become so upset over his death, so depressed, that she would literally drink herself to sleep in her chair every single night. But she found it was taking more and more alcohol to accomplish the objective. And that's when I met her. We set up a Bible study, and all we did was study the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And at some point, she voluntarily said, "Dempsey, I did something today." I said, "Okay, I'm eager to hear what it is." And she said, "I poured all of my alcohol down the drain." And it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars of all kinds of alcohol. And I said, "Praise God. Thank the Lord for that." And she then said, "Dempsey, if you drank alcohol, I want you to know I would never have studied the Bible with you. I don't believe that's right." I've met a number of people along life's way that feel the same way as Rowena. If they knew I drank alcohol, especially if there had been some serious injury, maybe a car accident as a result of it, they would not have opened the Word of God with me. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, Peter says, so that that which they slander you in the day of visitation, when it comes time for the Lord to come or their own death, they'll be ready themselves. Dr. David McAllister, general surgeon, and he was the director of St. Joseph Health Center in St. Charles, Missouri. He said this. He said, among U.S. residents between the ages of 5 and 34, the leading cause of death is traffic accidents. He went on to say half of those accidents involve alcohol. And he said that's the frustrating part. You could avoid it. He goes on to say that 2 of every 5 people in this country will be involved in a drunk driving accident at some time in their lives. 2 of every 5. And it's not just cars and alcohol that pose a threat, but he says drinking is responsible for a tremendous amount of accidents at home, at work, and a contributing factor in suicides and incidents of violence. And he says it just goes on and on, end quote. They say drink responsibly, and I suggest drinking is one of the most irresponsible things you can do. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. Our actions speak so loudly, people sometimes can't hear what we say. Here is some information from Mad Mothers Against Drunk Driving concerning the fruits. One drinking person every 30 minutes gets into his car, causes the death of an innocent victim, 18,000 to 20,000 per year. Alcohol has destroyed more people than all the wars of this nation. More than 10 times as many Americans are killed by drunken drivers as by a gun, one every 30 minutes. Countless marriages broken up, homes shattered because of the evil influences. As Abraham Lincoln once said, it has its defenders, has no defense. There's one other reason why I choose not to drink alcoholic beverage, and that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful for me, not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now that principle he states, I'll not be mastered by anything, could apply to any number of things. It could apply to eating. It could apply to sleeping. Any number of things. But Proverbs chapter 23, as we read, points out the addictive nature of alcohol. The Holy Spirit specifically says, even after a day of utter misery, sadness, and bruises and wounds, you can't remember the reason for, yet the person says, I will seek another drink. There's not a man living, there's not a person living, alcohol doesn't have the ability to master. And I don't believe I will be the lone exception. I know that isn't true. There's only one person I want to master my life, and that is Jesus Christ. And so why would I give an addictive drug an opportunity to take Jesus' place? Again, these words are from Marvin Block. Alcohol is a habit-forming drug and may lead to addiction. From an AA track, nobody is immune. This is AA. They say abstinence is the only solution. Listen to people who've been there. It's a dead-end street. So in summary, there are at least 4 reasons why I choose to not drink alcoholic beverage. Proverbs 23, number 1, especially the addictive nature of it. The strong warnings that are given there, are given by God, and they hit home with me. I believe them, and I don't think for a moment I will be the lone exception. Secondly, I don't drink alcoholic beverage out of concern for my influence. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul wrote, "Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greek or to the church of God. Give no offense." The Apostle Paul spends three entire chapters in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 to make one primary point. And that is, even if I believe I have the liberty to do something, if I'm free to do something, doesn't mean that I should. And the point he's trying to make there is the same point in Romans 14 and 15, and that is, love trumps liberty every time. Love trumps liberty. Even if I have a right to do it, doesn't mean that I should. The greatest quality of love is it doesn't seek its own. And so, concern for my influence. And then third, the urgent warning of Peter, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's difficult enough to resist temptation being fully sober with all my faculties in place, and even then I sometimes fail. I know that if I introduce alcoholic beverage into my system, even a small amount, as Hosea says, it will remove my understanding. It will keep me from reasoning as I should. It will dull my senses and make it very difficult to resist temptation. And then fourth, the vast majority of the fruits that come from drinking alcoholic beverage are evil. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. So as I said to this young man back in Colombia, five things, I said, turn your life over to the Lord completely. Acknowledge your desperate need for God's help and for the help of your brothers and sisters. And he did that. Seek the help of a trusted brother or sister. Be brutally honest with them and accountable to them constantly. That's the only way you're going to be able to do this. Pray constantly. Third, determine an effective strategy to avoid trigger areas, which may lead to that temptation. Avoid the triggers. Four, go to people that you've harmed. Maybe they're under the influence. Ask for their forgiveness. All of us need to be accountable for our choices if we're going to learn anything. And then five, stay in the element of God's word. Stay in the element of prayer. Stay in the element of fellowship. You have to have God's help, and you need the help of your brethren to get through something like this, whether it's this or something else that you've fallen into and you want to get out of. The Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 says, don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. See the contrast. Not that, but God's word. Speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Whatever it may be that you're struggling with right now, God has the power to help you get through that and overcome that. It may not be this, it could be something else. I chose this topic because of the time of year where a lot of people ramp this situation up. But it could be any number of things. God, who created this world, the earth and everything in it, has the power to create in you a new heart. He promises that through Jesus Christ. He'll make you new. You'll be able to start over completely without sin. And there will be times of constant refreshment that will come from the presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19. God has the power to do that. Whatever we seek to be the man that God wants us to be the woman God wants us to be, God has the power to help you be that person he always wanted you to be. He can create in you a new person. Trust in him. He will do it. You'll need the help of your brethren also. Let them help you. Be brutally honest with them about whatever it may be. Pray together about this or whatever the situation is. We love you. I think we've proven that. We love you. And we want more opportunities to prove that to you. Give us that opportunity. Our brother's going to lead us in the song. Let's stand and sing, please.